You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. This time live. Again, second time in a row we've done a live podcast. So part of you will listen to it right now, and then part of y'all will listen to it when it comes out on Monday. I got a bunch of people in the studio today. A whole bunch of people. Ant-Man producing the show. And I got Chris Lee, the mighty Chris with the big arms.
You can't see Chris on the show.
Yeah, he doesn't have a mic. He's got the wide mic. But he's here just to make sure things, you know, no intruders come in here and mess with us. That's why he has big guns. And then we're coming this. We're going to answer your questions. And if you have a question, you could do it in a couple of ways. You could email podcast@grangersmith.com. We're going to answer those. And you could also comment just like this. You can comment right here on the program if you're watching on YouTube. What if they're watching right now on Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah, you can leave a comment on Instagram just like...
And what if they're watching on Twitter?
And we'll say, same deal. In Twitter, it'll pop up right here for us.
Okay, so we'll get to see all of those. So you could either comment in real time on any of these programs you might be watching on, or you could just email podcast@grangersmith.com. We are also going to talk about Yee Yee Day, which, as we are recording this live, is mañana. It's going to be a really fun day. We've got two mud bogs, in fact, a DOT track, which is street legal trucks, and UTVs, and then a big boy track for the unlimited class, i.e. monster trucks.
Wasn't there going to be a third one?
Well, there's three categories, two tracks.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Kids track.
Oh, yeah. And then we will have kids. If you're listening, we're going to do a... what do you call it? Power wheel race in between the two tracks.
That's awesome.
Maverick will be entering in that. I'm going to be racing. You racing, Chris?
I'm not. I'm staying far, far away.
Is your truck four-wheel drive?
It is not.
Oh. Is your truck four-wheel drive, Ant?
No.
Both of y'all?
Yeah.
You got the white trucks?
I know.
Okay.
Don't give me... This has been a topic in our house all the way up to yesterday. Literally, I have gone to the dealership to trade in my truck because I wanted a 4x4 when I bought it in 2020. None were available. Remember, everything was short, but I needed a new car.
Okay.
And so I bought the one I have, and now they're three times as much.
Just for four-wheel drive?
Yeah. I mean, I bought that truck for maybe $30,000. A 4x4 right now, brand new. Yeah.
Okay.
Like 60 grand.
Okay. Well, maybe y'all could use the old 77 I've got.
Okay.
Okay.
You trust us with that?
Yes. I don't trust myself with it. So could we go see the guys at Yee Yee Apparel?
We can. Yeah.
Go see them. We should be able to go. Oh, there they are right there. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Y'all getting ready?
Why? So my question is,
to Chris and everybody else that doesn't have a 4x4 truck, what's the point of having a truck if it's not 4x4? Is that a dumb question?
Again, Tyler, don't get this. This podcast is about answering questions for the fans, not for me explaining why I don't have a 4x4.
All right.
City boys. That's, it's for city boys.
Yeah. Tyler, are you going to get your red Ford wet tomorrow?
I pulled you out yesterday.
You did. He did. He actually did.
So
we didn't have the hubs locked in.
Pulled out really.
So do we have Justin there with you guys? Is he out working on the track?
He's working on his truck he just bought. Yeah, he's out here.
So we have Justin Hildebrandt, who is a big time YouTuber, and he does this stuff. He actually told us the other day, a couple weeks ago, he said he's been doing this most of his life. Didn't he say something like that? I've been doing this most of my life. So I think that qualifies him as knowing what he's talking about. Yee Yee Day is open to the public for the first time ever. And I'll be totally honest with everyone listening right now. This is really a trial year for us. Opening it up to the public is a trial year. We're going to see how it goes and really shoot for, you know, I hope decades, Lord willing, decades of Yee Yee Day, where you can come and bring your kids and bring your power wheels and bring your pickup truck that's four-wheel drive and put it in the mud and celebrate with us.
I'll park over there with Chris, I guess.
I don't understand. Like, I know it's cool to have a four-wheel drive pickup truck. That's like the cool thing to have, right? It makes you more manly and everything.
It's no, Chris, you don't understand.
But aside from...
Hold up, Chris doesn't have headphones on.
Yeah, so, Chris doesn't understand.
Sorry, am I speaking over you Smith boys again? How's it feel? How's it feel? You do it to me. You do it to me all the time.
He doesn't have a camera and he doesn't have headphones.
Yeah, I have nothing over here.
Chris, let me explain what Tyler's saying. Go ahead, Tyler.
He's a city boy and he's never been in the mud, so he doesn't need a 4x4.
He said you're a city boy and you've never been in the mud, so you don't need a four-wheel drive.
That's right.
Okay. I never claimed to be a country boy by any means, but... If my daily life isn't getting stuck, possibly getting stuck in the mud, like I'm not getting stuck in the mud taking my son to baseball practice, right? So what's the point of having the four-wheel drive? I don't live up north where there's snow during the winter. So unless you live on a farm, what's the purpose? Or you're doing this mud bogging thing, what's the purpose of having it?
Yeah, it's a good argument. You have to love the fun of mudding, I guess, or you have to be going to the deer blind that's very difficult to get to. That's not the only two reasons, but if you're taking your kid to baseball practice and you just like a pickup truck, then get a two-wheel drive. Like Ant said, you're going to save a lot of money.
What if it's a wet day at the baseball park? See, that's what I always think of, the what
wet
ifs.
Day.
Yeah, what if it's been raining, like it's about to this weekend?
Then it's probably going to get rained out. But what I don't get... What I don't get is the, and I really get it from these Smith brothers here, is the condescending tone, the letdown when you state that you don't have, and I get this not just from you guys, but from other people. It's like, oh, you don't have a four-wheel drive. Oh, I guess we see who's running that family, right?
Parker doesn't have a four-wheel drive either. Parker's driving dad's old truck. Not the 74 old truck, but the other old truck, the one that was sitting at mom's forever. And Parker's like, I want to save some money and drive that.
I was going to say, he's the smartest of everyone here. Yeah, he has no payment. Smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason to have four-wheel drive is so you can tell people you have four-wheel drive.
Oh, come on. Be fair.
No. Again, I just pulled Granger out yesterday. I literally pulled out the forklift that somebody drove in the grass. It's not supposed to be in the grass. I pulled them out 3 days ago. So it's like Like, to Chris's point, yeah, Chris, the condescending thing, like, I get it. Like, if you're always on the pavement, two-wheel drive's fine. But being out on the farm, living on a farm, at the ranch, going hunting like Granger, so you just have to have a 4x4.
Yeah, so you guys could join in on this conversation. Anyone could comment and give us a good reason why you need a four-wheel drive. I think there are many. And I think Parker has a point as well. So Crystal says, my husband's dream truck was a 95 to 2000 Ford F-350 Super Duty diesel 4x4. And WR, what does that mean? Bought one.
And we bought one.
Okay. We bought one without the 4x4. And as much as he loves our truck with a Texas flag on the tailgate, he still complains about not having four-wheel drive. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I have no need for one, and I complain every day, too. So.
Yeah.
You know what it came in handy was the ice storm in Texas.
The ice storm was huge. And we have, you know, usually once a year in Texas, you're going to need a four-wheel drive. A couple years ago, I spent a couple days just pulling people out of the ditch with that when I had that Ford. Adam says, let's hear what Earl Dibbles Jr. would say about all this. Yeah, I think Adam Earl would say, if you're going to drive a truck, I mean, why are you even going to get no two-wheel drive? It doesn't even make no sense. Just going to tire spinning like that. I don't even like no two-wheel drive. Four-wheel drive's the only way to go for country boys. That's what he would say.
Probably. He said that before, right?
Yeah. So, guys, before we let you go, what can we know about tomorrow? I'm going to head up there just a little bit to get you guys to see if we can get some water from the big track to the little track. But what else should we know about Yee Yee Day tomorrow?
Don't show up if you don't have a ticket. I think we still have tickets available today, but it's a you won't be let in at the gate if you don't have a ticket. So go get a ticket now. We still have some available. It's going to be a lot of fun. Next year, we'll probably do a Saturday. I think the only reason we did Friday this year was because Granger, you're leaving to some other country or state or something again to go speak.
Yeah, so, that's what I do. Okay.
We got food trucks. We got beer. We got the mud bogs being worked on right now. It's the most insane mud bog I've ever seen. They're like 4 or 5 feet deep. There's literally like $500,000 machinery, like digging into the mud, making sure that it's like the perfect amount of mud to be able to let certain trucks get far enough, but then get stuck at certain points. We have like redneck scientists out there perfecting it. It's going to be like one of the greatest days in Yee Yee history, honestly. And we're super excited.
And we got a bunch of friends and guests like Dale Brisby, Hannah Barron. I think Weston Champlin's coming. Who else is coming? A bunch of people like that, a bunch of friends over the years are going to be hanging out. So it's going to be a fun time.
I agree. I agree with Parker. I think it's going to be one of the coolest days we've had at Yee Yee Farm since Holler. And it may even be better than Holler, since the Holler music video shoot.
It's going to be better because everybody who's seen this place for years is finally going to be able to be here when a helicopter comes roaring in right over their heads. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Don't give away all the surprises, Parker. Yeah, it's cool. All right, guys. Well, I'll see y'all in a few hours, and everyone else, you'll all see the Yee Yee Farm tomorrow.
See you guys.
See ya. All right, so let's get to what we do on this podcast, and that's answer some questions. And thankfully, it's not just my brain working on this. We got Chris and Ant-Man. This question comes in from, let's see who this is. This is from Garrett. And Garrett wants to argue about some stuff here. Just kidding. He says this: hey, Granger, longtime music follower, new to the podcast, but really love it. I don't remember the episode number, but you had a Mennonite gentleman on there, and you guys were discussing using firearms for protection. I'll preface my question by stating that I am a firm believer in the right to bear arms, as I believe it is necessary for the protection of innocent life here on earth. I feel like your conversation with that gentleman ended too soon, and basically what I gathered from his perspective is that he believes you don't need a gun for protection if you trust God. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that stance. Personally, I don't agree, because by that logic, nobody who has faith in God should ever wear a seatbelt, own a fire extinguisher, or wear a harness in a tree stand, etc. I just don't see how being cautious and prepared could mean you are lacking faith. Just curious about your further thoughts on this topic. Thank you, Garrett. Yeah, man, I appreciate you, Garrett. You're talking about my buddy Marv, and love Marv to death. We met on this podcast. We met because he was a listener to it.
Oh, cool.
And then we became friends. He's a dear brother in Christ, and then eventually he was a guest on the podcast. And one of the questions, you know, Mennonites believe what is that doctrine? It is the non-aggression, the doctrine of non-aggression. And I think there's
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
So it's basically, I don't want to say the word pacifist.
Very peaceful.
They believe, they lean more on the turn your cheek side of Jesus, and
less on the turn over the tables.
Yeah. It's actually funny you say that, because those are the two extremes. And I believe if you lean on either extreme, you can't be correct. You can't pin Jesus on the flipping the table guy or the we only turn the other cheek guy. Because, you know, it's interesting when the Jews came to arrest him, and the Romans, they came to arrest him in the garden, he spoke a word and they fell to the ground. You know, he defended the disciples in a way with just his voice. Just his voice knocked him to the ground. So it's interesting to look at it in that perspective. I think here's where I land on this. And Garrett, I hope you hear my heart on this. I have nothing wrong with the Second Amendment, and neither does Marv. He's the first one to say that. Yeah. Like, the guy loves to hunt, and I don't think there's anything wrong with desiring to protect innocent life in your family. I think that is something that's God-given. I think that's something that's inside of God has given that to all men, a desire to protect. And so there is a nuance to this that we have to dive into. And so we should test our hearts to see, are we approaching this with the Clint Eastwood mentality? Come on, punk, make my day. Yeah. Or are we saying, my last resort in life is to use deadly force? It's the last thing I want to do. I will protect my family from someone, just as I would protect my immediate family from a sibling that comes home drunk and starts beating on his mom. Like, I'm going to stop him with force. Part of Marv's argument on this was, and I think it's right. It's like, look, if I'm carrying a gun with me all the time, then I could be tempted to lean to the side of me that says, come on, punk, make my day. I could be tempted to use it out of anger, which is a sin of ours, to be aggressive and to a point of, I want to fight you because I want to prove that I'm right, or prove that I'm stronger, or prove that I'm a better protector. Jesus would have never done that. Jesus was perfect and sinless, and so he would have never used it in that way. But I think, Garrett, there's a nuance to this, and I think it's a category error to say, well, then we shouldn't wear a seatbelt, or we shouldn't carry a fire extinguisher, or we shouldn't wear a harness in a tree stand. I think that's a category error, because killing someone has way more consequences than putting out a fire with a fire extinguisher. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. So you don't want to be wrong about that. You don't want to shoot somebody between the eyes because they're on your front lawn, and you did it out of mistake, or they were somebody's son that was having a bad day with alcohol, and you just shot him between the eyes and killed him to prove a point that you're going to protect your family. I think there's a danger in that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we have to bring up before I'll let you guys talk, we have to bring up, we're talking about something that is so rare. The instance you have to pull the trigger on a gun to protect your family. I've never met anyone that's had to do that. I'm sure it happens, but it is the far extreme case. It's a one in a million chance. And so do we base all of our thinking on a one in a million chance, or do we want to actually think through it and go, look, I'm not the flip the tables Jesus. I'm not only the flip the tables Jesus. I'm not only the turn your other cheek Jesus. In fact, I'm not Jesus at all. And I have a tendency to sin. And part of that sin is aggression. So I want to do all I can to protect that aggression. Let me let you guys dive in. And then you guys, I want to see some comments on here too, because this is a very nuanced question.
Well, I tell you, I just firmly believe Jesus wants me to have an AR-15, brother. I just don't see any way around it.
Right.
That's the best I can get you in the camera too, right here. So it's just the only answer. Yeah. I'm kind of in between in some of that in the fact I carry, but I also did all the training too. Actually, I've done training twice. That is, you know, never point at anything that you don't intend to kill. Never pull your gun if you don't intend to use it. So that's always been, it's there in the extreme that I haven't, and I wasn't in a situation that I wish I would have.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's very different for every person. If you are a person who does lean into, okay, I lose control when I get angry, or I jump to an extreme when I get upset. Yeah. It's just like being that person owning a gun. You should be a responsible gun owner. It's the ones who are irresponsible are the ones who make all the responsible ones look bad. Right. And lead to the conversation of, well, you know, nobody should, or we should have a ban on X, Y, and Z. And that's not what this podcast is about. But what my point is that you need to be real and judge yourself very honestly. If you are an extreme, it doesn't have to be with a gun. It could be with something broke. You knock something over and broke. Did you get very upset when you stub your toe? What do you do? You know, are you the one who cusses everybody that you see, or are you sit down and pray over it and hope that you didn't break your toe? Where do you land? That kind of should help you maybe a little bit dictate what you should do about carrying every day.
What you got on this, Chris?
You know, I've done training, and as Ant-Man mentioned, it's, you know, you pull that gun up and you point it at someone, through my training anyway, you're pulling the trigger. You're not pulling it up and pointing it
to threaten,
to scare,
yeah,
or anything like that.
Yeah, agreed.
And you're shooting to kill. You're shooting for center mass, right between the chest bone. So, man, my prayer every morning, not that I, you know, live on the streets or anything like that. It sounds really dangerous.
Gangster.
Oh, gosh, man. Chris.
In your two-wheel drive.
Got to get out of that neighborhood, pal. But my prayer every morning is I don't have to use that,
yeah,
that weapon.
Yeah.
That's the last thing. I mean, there's all kinds. You know, first and foremost, you don't want to take another life, right? You don't want to kill somebody. But second, you know, there's so many legal consequences that come along with that, and you're probably going to court, and there's a good possibility you're going to be sitting in a cell that night.
Definitely going to court.
So the idea of almost kind of welcoming that challenge of somebody coming into your house, and I know there's a lot of people out there that have that sentiment, people I know closely, I don't get it. I don't get it, and I think it's kind of a dangerous mindset.
Yeah, so that's where I agree with Marv. I mean, granted, I love Marv. Like, I would rather. I think what you're saying is I'd rather fall on that side. I'd rather fall on the Mennonite side, going, because you know what Marv says is, he's like, I don't know what I would do in that situation, and I think what he's kind of implying is I don't really trust myself, yeah, with what I would do.
Yeah.
And I think, Garrett, man, I love you too, man. I don't know yet. I'm glad you emailed, but it sounds like the sentiment of Clint Eastwood here. This sounds like I carry because I want to say, come on, punk, make my day. You want to step on the threshold of my house, I will blow your brains out. And I think if you have that idea, I think that's a sin, and I think it's,
yeah, for sure.
I think it's a lot of trouble you could be in. Yeah. We'll continue on, but if someone has a comment about this, is anybody commenting about this, Ann, or are they staying silent? Because I don't blame them if they are.
No, there are some comments. Can we take a break real quick?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Yeah.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's Knix. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, you said you had some comments on here?
Yes, we have. There's a couple there. I planned on, okay, let's try this one right here. We got one from
Brandon. Says, I'm 20. I plan to get my concealed carry permit after college. I strongly believe in self-defense, and I know that I'd only use it if I am in a life or death situation. Yeah, it's good. Michelle says, thank you for speaking on this today. Love the podcast. Y'all are great. God bless. Michelle says, and I'm not offering my opinion, which I don't blame you at all. Bruce says, I don't know how this begins. Something we should be prepared to give up if the government bans guns.
Yeah, sorry, there's the beginning.
Okay. One way I thought about it is it's a privilege that as Christians we can use. I think he believes guns. However, can you go back one more time, Ant?
Yeah, sorry.
However, I think it would be something we should be prepared to give up if the government bans guns, seeking to be subject to government as Romans 13 talks about. Oh, that's interesting. So that's not where I thought he was going. I thought he was going to say we need to be ready when the government comes so we keep them.
Yeah.
But he's saying, yeah, we could use them. It's a privilege we have. If the government comes, we should be ready to give them up.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Andrea says, I teach CPL classes, and we always teach our students that it is a tool of last resort.
Bingo.
We always go through the pyramid of de-escalation. Yeah, amen. I've done that class as well. And then here's Bruce again. In the New Testament, I believe
it's one of the apostles.
I believe it's one of the apostles that commands a congregation for joyfully accepting the seizure of their property, realizing that everything on earth is temporal. You have to remember, Bruce, I mean, these apostles, the time of the early church, the first century, it was constant oppression. And Jesus, think about this, y'all. Jesus never rebuked a soldier for being a soldier. So you could look at that a couple different ways. But he never, when the Roman soldiers came in different instances and said, what should we do to be saved?
Yeah.
Jesus never said, stop being a soldier. Put down your guns, which would have been swords, obviously. Put down your weapons and don't be a soldier anymore. And John the Baptist, same, when he encountered these centurions, he never once said, stop being a soldier. That is a sin. Don't be a soldier. Put down your swords, you infidels.
Yeah.
He never said that. Yeah. You brought up another one. Brian says, I am a former LEO and Marine, and I understand a gun is a tool, and like any other tool, it requires training for proper use. I don't want to have to take another life, but I do want to protect life. Yeah, amen, Brian. Yeah, we are here to, as men, part of what we do is we want to protect and make prosper, you know? And I don't think anyone disagrees that at the hands of life and death, especially with a child or someone that's can't defend themselves as much, you will step in between the aggressor and the victim. You will step in between it. And stop whatever's happening.
Yeah.
I think the gray area that's so interesting to me, and I think about this often, very circumstantial. So someone comes into your house They're wielding a weapon. That's pretty cut and dry. It's like they got to be done with. You got to get rid of them.
Or a school.
Okay.
Yeah.
But someone breaks into your house. Let's just say a teenager, a 175-pound teenager comes in.
Yeah.
Unarmed.
Yeah.
What do you do at that point? You know, is it, do I use my martial arts stuff on them? Do I start shooting? Do I point, try to get them to leave? You know, what's the, how do you react in that gray area there? And that's the.
Yeah. And like what I told Marv when he was on the podcast, I said, I've told Amber before, I'm shooting all the kneecaps out and then I'm taking my belt off as a tourniquet and preaching the gospel to him.
That's right.
And Marv laughed and he's like, I think I would do the same thing. He's like, but I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would trust myself. So that, I think that's what it comes down to, is that teenager comes in and he doesn't have any kind of deadly weapon, but say he's on drugs and he's wanting to hurt, he's wanting to rape your daughter, you know? And so I don't know if my first reaction isn't, I want to throw a grenade into his mouth, you know? Like, I don't know if that's my first reaction, because it's impossible to know how we react, but whatever you have accessible to you, you will use.
Right.
These are all questions. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but these are questions we need to really think about. And we need to think about why we're asking the question. Like, once again, is it a, come on, punk, make my day. Let me show you who I am. I protect my family at all ends. Or is it, I want to love and protect and preserve life, and I want as many people saved as possible. Is that your desire? Mm-hmm. Or is it, you step on my grass, I blow your brains out. Yeah. You know, this is interesting. Are we chewing up too much time on one topic? No. Thanks a lot, Marv. No.
there's a comment on Instagram.
Okay.
From Costa63. You should never carry just to go out to find a situation to put yourself in. It should only be pulled off a threat. Is there pulled off a threat, is there better to retreat than running to unless you truly need it?
Okay. See, it's hard. It's hard reading questions like that.
You're right.
That's a good point. Are you wearing a red bandana and going into the Crips
Correct.
Neighborhood? You know, it's like, is that you? Yeah. We need to test ourselves in these kind of ways. What are we getting ourselves into?
Yeah. You want some other comments? People ask a few things.
Another question.
Well, there are just other comments that have come in, not about the topic.
Marianne says, hey, Granger, we're in London, Ontario, and Amber just spoke, Amber has spoke at, would love to see her, only 90 minutes from me, and I'm in, what is she saying? Windsor, Ontario, Canada. I don't know, is Amber gone? I don't think Amber's gone there yet. I think she's...
Has she gone to Canada?
She's going there tomorrow, actually.
Really?
I think she's going in there tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
I think she's downstairs now.
Yeah, she's downstairs. She's down
there. I think I saw her.
Katie says, are you planning to see George Strait in June? I'm not, Katie. Amanda says, Granger, how's your family doing? Love y'all, are so inspiring. They're all great. Busy. We got Yee Yee Day tomorrow, so everybody's kind of prepping for that. Plus, Amber's going somewhere. Canada, I think, obviously. Anna says, I really love your episodes every Monday. Thanks for sharing them. Yeah, thank you, Anna. Caleb says, hey, Granger, been dating my girlfriend for 3.5 years. I'm 18. My parents are super overprotective, even with my everyday life. It's to the point where it makes me put up a wall from them. Any advice? Yeah, Caleb, that means you've been dating this girl since you're in your, 14 and a half years old. And your parents, all of us either have a 14-year-old or have had one or almost have a 14-year-old in this room right now. And so when you say your parents are putting, they're overprotective, great. Great. Like, shouldn't parents want at all costs to protect? Now, the thing is, you're right at the end of their jurisdiction over your life. You're most likely going to leave here pretty soon, and you could do whatever you want. But while you're still under their roof, as the old saying goes, I would suggest honoring them, loving them, understanding that they truly want what's best for you. They don't want to overpower you and overprotect you because of they have some kind of motive for themselves, some selfish motive. They probably see something in this girl, since you've been dating since you're 14 and a half years old. They probably see something that it's a little scary to them. And it may be just as simple as they think she's moving a little too fast, and they might like her, but they're wondering if you're going to give up all of your teenage years for her and not just be a teenage boy for once, because you haven't been able to do that. Maybe the worry is as simple as that, and so that comes across as overprotective. Guys, what do y'all got on that?
In a world full of parents that I believe do not care enough and do not put enough restrictions on their kids, keep in mind, I grew up very, very old school, raised by my biological grandparents, and they knew exactly what I was doing, when I was doing it, where I was doing it. So in this world, I think having parents like that is a real blessing. It's not going to make sense to you at 18 right now, because you're at that age where you want to be free. You want to have no chains attached to you.
Amen.
But it's going to make sense one of these days. I promise you.
Yeah.
I was questioning those parental decisions when I was your age. And now, having a couple of teenagers, I'm telling them the same thing.
Yeah.
Believe me, this is going to make sense to you one of these days. We're trying to shape you into being a good human. And hang in there. It sounds like you got some good folks. And as long as they're not beating you too much, you know, you're okay.
Yeah, the cool thing about this live podcast is, Chris, we're not speaking to an email. We're speaking to him. He's listening right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool, right? Yeah. I love that aspect of this live answering questions. Should we go back to the email, speaking of, or you got more, Ant?
A couple more comments here. Just Yee Day tomorrow. It'll be fine.
Wife bought me a ticket to celebrate my birthday at Yee Yee Day. Marcus, my man, I will see you tomorrow, buddy. Awesome. A lot of fun. Here's one. Say hello from. And Nora636 says, saying hello from Fort Worth, Texas. Love how genuine you are in your podcast. Thank you, Nora. Thank you. Susan says, Granger, how could we best pray for you and your family in this season of life? That's a great question. And it changes. I would say right now I'm in a little bit of a busy season. Just coming back from Honduras and heading into Yee Yee Day tomorrow, preaching in Costa Mesa, California, Sunday, delivering a message on Wednesday in Albuquerque, and then another message on Friday in Bismarck, North Dakota. So all of those messages require time, research, reading, writing, seminary on top of that. So if you could just pray for endurance through the season. And I'm trying to be better about saying no to things. I thought I was getting better at saying no to things. And even now I'm still struggling a little bit, because then another message will come in and somebody invites me to their thing. And I just go, oh, I really like this person, or I respect them, or I would love to be part of this. And I say yes. And then it just fills up.
You know the saying, and we probably said it before, but is that you do say no to things when you say yes to things.
Yeah.
So when you say yes to something, you say no to something else. Just pick which one you want to say no to.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. I needed to hear that, Ant. I needed to hear that. Yeah, like right out, I'm doing an interview. It's 10:36 Central Time right now as we record it. I'm doing an interview at 11.
You jump it from this into an interview.
Yeah. What's one great memory from your recent mission? Be Grateful says. You know, this is second time in just a few months I've done some kind of mission in Central America. And Latin America, I should say. I have seen a joy in these people. And it shouldn't be thought of as Americans that we need to go and help them because their life is struggling in some way. You know, like, oh, they don't have what we have. We should help them. Trust me. I've spent a significant amount of time recently with people from these different countries, and they're not hurting for joy or happiness or peace or rest like we are in the United States. Yeah. And they don't have what we have material-wise, but they don't need it. And so I think I learned those lessons.
I was going to say, it's probably a bigger learning lesson for you on those trips.
Yeah. There's,
you don't have Instagram at the time. They don't either. And there's more joy. There's no emails flying in, and they have joy, and you do too.
One of the countries I've been to recently is all communist. And so they definitely don't have anything material that we have, especially food and medicine, things like that. But really, they're happy. They don't need what we think we need. But I'm not going. The reason I go to these places is to share the gospel. That's what we all need collectively. Is all of us image bearers of God need the gospel, and we need leaders to teach the gospel. And so we go to support the leaders and provide the leaders with the resources or information or just encouragement that they might need, so that these leaders in these different regions can help teach each other. That's really what it comes down to.
You hit an email?
Yeah, this email here. How are we doing on time? We good? Good on cameras? From Anonymous, it says, "Hey Granger, I want to remain anonymous. I'm a teenager who lives in Tennessee. I'm homeschooled, and at the moment, I'm doing homeschool most of the time. I've been struggling with friendship issues. In my past, I hung out with a really bad crew who drank, smoked, etc. I want friends who love Jesus, but at the church I attend with my family, there seems to be a bunch of surface-level people. I've been putting myself out there only to seemingly get rejected or get left in a month's time. I don't want to act high and mighty, but I also want those iron sharpens iron friends. In the past, I've been taken advantage of and drained, and I'm going through a really hard time, and I just want to be poured into. What would you do to make more friends that are solid? Thank you for your time. Love your podcast." Oh boy, this is a great question, but it's very difficult because of the information I'm lacking. I don't know how old you are. I don't know what town you're in. I don't know if it's a rural town with 50 people or if you're in a city. I don't know if you're going to the only church in town. I just don't know a lot of things. This was one of these questions that just requires more. But I do want to say that you're right in needing those core relationships. I preached Daniel 1 recently, and something that's so evident in Daniel as he was about 14 years old, 14 or 15, when he was exiled to Babylon, and he had three godly friends with him. And to collectively, those four boys, their faithfulness changed the entire kingdom. And throughout the Bible, we see continually this idea that you shouldn't be alone. You should do it together. You should do it in community. You should do it with your fellow brothers and sisters. In fact, it's like you can't do it alone. Do not do it alone. These are the commands given for us. And so, Anonymous, you're right in thinking, man, I need that iron sharpens iron kind of friend. And without me knowing exactly the situation, it's hard for me just to tell you how to find a friend. But I would say that there could be other churches. There's a couple things going on here. Either you really are at a bad church with a bunch of surface-level people, or you're also just not seeing yourself as that same hypocrite. The church is full of hypocrites. But technically, the Christians are the only ones in the world that should be able to admit wholeheartedly that they are, in fact, a hypocrite themselves. Every human's a hypocrite. So maybe that's part of this, is you're just not seeing yourself for who you are, Anonymous, that you are surface level. You are a hypocrite. And go into it with more humility. Or I might be totally wrong, and you might actually be at a bad church, and there is another church down the road that you could find these iron sharpens iron friends. A lot of times, too, I say follow your hobbies. So if you love chess, find a chess team, you know, and meet those core people in the chess group. Or if you love baseball, do that. If you love bowling, go to the bowling league, and you'll find these people that love what you love. Once again, I don't know if that's exactly what he's asking. I don't know if he's saying that I need someone from the church. And so I would say there might be other churches out there. What do you guys got?
I think first and foremost, good for you for holding your standards of what you're looking for in a friend. I think that's really awesome. It sounds like you're easily able to identify the wolves in the herd of sheep. Second, I would encourage you to maybe shrink your focus a little bit to finding one good friend.
That's good.
One good friend that you can rely on, and you know, iron sharpens iron. Make each other, accountable to being better believers is so important. I'll take one good friend over five flaky friends that could possibly be a bad influence any day of the week.
Yeah, that's good. He's talking about, hey, I've been with this bad crew who drank and smoked. So I don't want to leave that part out in my answer, that this guy actually is looking for possibly one good friend to help sharpen him a bit. So yeah, that's a good question.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I want to tell you guys about Songfinch. Have you heard about this, Ant-Man?
I have. You sent me some info about it the other day, and Mother's Day is coming up, I know.
So there is this company called Songfinch, and they sponsored this podcast, and they will make a song for you. They'll write a song for you in whatever situation that you're in. And it's really cool. You could do it for Mother's Day, like you said. Yeah. You could do it for a birthday. You could probably do it for your wife. Do you have any idea who you will do it for? Because you're going to do this.
I am, yeah, for Mother's Day. And I'm trying to probably for my wife from the girls.
So yeah. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and people you love. And it's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. You just tell them who the song is for, what the style you want for the song. And then you share it with some personal details about your relationship. And then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice, who you get to pick, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. And then once you get that, you could change it and kind of tweak it how you want. You could even get a vinyl record of your song.
I didn't know that part.
Cool. And you could put it just on Spotify, which is cool. They've done this over 350,000 times with a bunch of happy customers. They are the number one custom music company in the world. So with all, you know, graduation coming up, Father's Day, Mother's Day, a wedding, it's a great way to show some love. Yeah. They asked me if they could do it for me. And I said, no, it doesn't mean anything to anyone in my life to have a song because that's right. Just what I've always done.
Exactly.
So I said, you're going to have to find someone else. And so that's why I went to you.
Yeah.
Because we're going to let you experience this and have someone write a custom song for you for whoever, In fact, don't give it away who it's going to be for.
Okay. Well, what I want to ask you two, though, is what genre should I do it in?
Ooh. Yeah, you got it.
Hip hop Mother's Day song, is there?
Like NSYNC, NSYNC style.
Yeah. Man, go 90s East Coast, West Coast gangster rap.
Okay, done.
So for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you and your lucky person that you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/Granger and start your song. After your purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming to your original song for free. That's a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/Granger. Don't forget to share your song with us, too. Songfinch.com/Granger.
Okay, I can't wait to come back, hopefully, on the next live we do.
Perfect.
And I'll bring it in on that. We've got a few more before we have to run, but there is... here's a couple. Let's do that one.
All right, Catherine says, hey, Granger, I'm curious if you have plans to visit SLC. That is the good old Salt Lake City. I'd love for you to attend one of our sermons, but also... I'd love to attend one of your sermons, but also missed your meet and greet at Salt Lake City last year. Yeah, absolutely. Catherine, I don't have any immediate plans to go to Salt Lake, but I do love that city.
Is there a place people can book if they wanted to book you?
Please don't.
Okay. Sorry.
I just need to say no more. I'm kidding. That's right. I'm kidding. Yeah, Grangersmith.com.
I thought I was being proactive and helping.
There's a contact on. There's a way to book me, yes. Okay. Francesca, how do you say that?
Probably Francesca.
Francesca says, do you think exes can be friends or possibly do business together in the future? Relationship was kind of toxic. No. I mean, do I think you can? Yes. But do I advise it? No. Not if it was a toxic relationship. You don't want to do business together. I'm currently 16. New comment. I'm personally glad with the restrictions. Oh, this is the guy, right? This is the same guy?
I think it's just another 16. Just
another one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm personally glad with the restrictions I had as a kid, seeing people are in high school and it's just crazy here. Yeah. You're going to look back, y'all, teenagers that are watching right now, you're going to look back in life and you're going to be thankful for the parents that had restrictions on you, for the restrictions they put on you, as opposed to being thankful that they let you do whatever you want. It's always the other way. People always respect their parents for the discipline they gave them and not for the freedom they gave them as a kid. Yeah.
Agreed.
Hey, Granger. This is conservative American. Conserve American. Hey, Granger, there are a lot of questions I would love to pick your brain on, but the one I would love your perspective on is the current state of the church in America right now. Yeah, I mean, it's a broad question. God preserves his church. So we got to start there. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he has built his church. He will preserve his church. He will preserve his word. He will preserve his people. What changes as the pendulum swings is the way that church is carried out in its polity, which means church government, and the amount of nominal Christians that attach themselves to it or fall away from it. So at certain points in our history, there's going to be times when culture aligns with the church and a bunch of people pile on, and it might look like from a distance, church is really good in America right now. It's huge. There's a bunch of people that look at the buildings are amazing. And then as the pendulum swings and culture now is against the church, whenever that might happen, or if it does, I don't know. I'm not making a comment for it or against it. But when it switches and the church shrinks down, that's not a message that God has given up on the church, or that America has turned, and the Christians in America have turned against God, and they need to be punished like some people would preach. Mm-hmm. Instead, that I think that's more of an indication that nominal Christianity is now falling off and the church is slimming down. In those slimming moments, which I think we're kind of in a slimming era right now, it's really cool because it's as the fat goes away, you start to reveal the muscle of the actual church. And you see people that are actually gravitating towards good, sound doctrine. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So what's my opinion on the state of the church? It's probably the same opinion that it's been in the last 2,000 years. It ebbs and flows. God will preserve it. We need to preach a sound gospel. We need to preach good doctrine. We need to tell people about hell and sin that is a direct ticket to hell. And we need to tell them about Jesus, who is the redemption to close the gap of separation between us and God and what he did on the cross so that he could reconcile those same sinners away from hell back to himself. We need to teach the full gospel and that we need to believe that, repent, turn away from our sin, turn to him. Anything more is just fluff, and anything less is not Christianity.
I agree. That's about all the time we have.
Oh, is that it already? Yeah. Oh, I got that interview at 11. Okay, well, love you guys. Comment, please. Help us know if you want Chris to be back here, because I'm kind of thinking he shouldn't be back here.
If he is, we got to get him a camera. That's the thing.
I'm just kidding.
And some headphones, right?
Some people aren't meant to be seen.
Comment if y'all like the live, edgy podcast with all of us in the room. I personally love it, yeah. Even though it takes a long time to set up. Hopefully, we're getting better at the setup. Yeah. But I love this, and I hope that we can continue to do this at least once a month, maybe even more, and answer your questions. So
I will say, from what was happening 2 minutes before we went live, to have it go as well as it has today, it's great.
It's true. We won't even tell them the panic we were having right before we went live. Love you guys. If you have a question, email podcast@grangersmith.com, and we'll see you next Monday, like always. Yee-yee.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.